As I said off the top of the show, it was showtime for our AFLW sides here in Western Australia on the weekend. Saturday, Fremantle and West Coast took part in a practice game, the only one that they'll get before the season proper starts next weekend. And joining us down the line to talk us through what happened is the coach of the Fremantle AFLW side, Trent Cooper. Trent, good morning and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jordan. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So what was it like finally being able to get out there and playing something other than intra-club scratchies and get back into the competitive fire of it?
Yeah, it's almost, 9 or 10 months since we've played against an opposition, so it was really good to get out and for the girls to tackle someone other than their teammates and blow a few of the cobwebs off and work through the game plan and just their individual development. So it was great to get that under the belt.
We talked to a few players from different sides over the last few weeks, and they all talk about ticking boxes in the preseason. Did you feel like Saturday's scratchy ticked a lot of those boxes for you as to what you wanted to get out of it?
Yeah, it was. Probably during the game, I didn't think it was perfect, but when I look back now, it probably was exactly what we needed. So the first thing and main thing for both sides is that we got through unscathed with injuries. I'm pretty sure West Coast is the same. So that's always a big tick for pre-season. And then there were elements of the game that we weren't really happy with the way we played, and there were elements that we were very happy. So what that gives us is 2 weeks to fine-tune a few things, and it's the best way to get feedback is from that, from a game situation, go, okay, well, this didn't work and this didn't work, so how are we going to fix it up before round one? So from a coaching point of view, we got everything out of it that we wanted.
And a couple of draftees in action. Sarah Verrier came in with a reasonably high profile, and Maggie McLaughlin taking part in the game as well. What did you see from the rookies that you liked and that they could bring to the senior side this upcoming season?
Yeah, Sarah's an interesting one because she's played her whole career down back and through the midfield. At the moment, we're quite strong in those areas, and there's probably a spot up for grabs in the forward line. So we've been training Sarah as a forward over the past 4 weeks, and she's never even trained there in her life. So it's a learning curve for her. And she made some really good positions and didn't quite get used on a couple of occasions, but she's coming along really well. And Maggie's come. She's come from a long way back. Her development has been rapid, and on the weekend, she got a taste of what AFLW football is like, and she'll be better for that run as well. So it was good to see her get out there and get amongst it.
The Eagles got off to a pretty quick start. I think it was 4 of the first 5 goals, from what I can gather, in the game, and got away from you a little bit. How was it, your feelings on it as a coach, seeing not only the deficit's obviously not great, but the comeback from there to be able to overcome that and then get the win in the end. What were your feelings on that from the coach's box?
Yeah, it was good to do. We've sort of done that in the past. We've got a very resilient group who, if we do get in trouble, they don't panic and they get to work even harder. And they did that on the weekend. First quarter, I think it's fair to say West Coast surprised us a bit. They played a different style and were very effective and forced us to change things, which is all credit to them. And we're a bit slow in the midfield to adapt, but then we got a quarter-time break because we're down 3 goals to zip at that stage. And, from then on, the girls in the midfield really got to work and started to get the game back on our terms.
Change to Trent Cooper, coach of the Fremantle AFLW side. The veterans were among the goal scorers again. Gemma Horton, a couple of goals in a few minutes in, I think it was the third quarter, from what I could gather. Without vision, it's only looking at Twitter, it can be hard to tell exactly, but a couple of goals in a few minutes in the third quarter. You had Sabrina Duffy on the scoreboard again. Gabby O'Sullivan finds herself on the scoreboard. You've obviously got the likes of Cara and Ebony Antonio running through that midfield and up forward. What did you see from your veterans who've been in the system now for 5 seasons or so?
Yeah, so they were all on most of our veterans, as you call them, on the limited minutes. So, Gemma Houghton just played 3 quarters, but she looked really dangerous. Ebony Antonio had only come out of house quarantine 2 days beforehand. So she started the game like someone who'd been in quarantine for 2 weeks, but then finished the game really, really strongly. So it was a perfect hit out for her. after that. And we didn't put Kara out there after spending 2 weeks in lockdown, but she'll be right to go for round one. Kiara Bowers is another one who didn't have out there in the first quarter and finished the game really strongly. So we're really pleased with that, the group that's been around for a while. They're all coming back and running PBs in their time trials, and yeah, they're really determined to make sure we can go as far as we can this year.
So when you take a step back and have a look at what happened on the weekend, what is the most pleasing thing you take out of that you feel like you can take into round one next weekend?
I think our back line has really, since I've been there, has really gone to another level. It was probably our shakiest line to start with, and now under the guidance of Gary Gibbetson, who's doing a great job with them, they're a really strong unit. And when we had our best defence out there, the opposition have had a lot of trouble scoring. So that's, for me, the most pleasing aspect and how strong our defence is now. The likes of Janelle Cuthbert and Nevi Gooch had great games in the weekend, and we've now got really good confidence in our defence, which we can then springboard a lot of our attacks from. So that would be the thing that we're probably most pleased with at the moment.
I saw late last week that the club's gone with the motto, and I know this can trickle from the top down and be through the organisation, but unfinished business is the motto that the club's gone with for the membership drive and those kind of things this year. Is that the feeling within the playing group as well, given how last year ended?
Yeah, definitely. It was something that started within the playing group. I think someone sort of mentioned it straight after the season, or it could have been at the fairest and best. And in some ways, we want to continue on from last year. We know that we are all 0-0 and we get no credit for what we got for last year. But what it did is give us great momentum. So we're just continuing on with that. We've got the same leadership group. For the first time since I've been there, we've got a very few changeovers in players, very little turnover. So we're looking at it as, yep, unfinished. We're sort of halfway through a campaign, but we know we get no credit for it. But we want to push on from there with the momentum that we started last year.
You know that all other teams, it's the same in all professional sports. It's about marginal gains and improvements year on year. Everyone's going to be improving around you and coming after you after last year. Where does Fremantle's improvement come from? You've spoken about the back line already, but where does Fremantle's biggest improvement come from to stay at the top of the ladder in 2021?
No, you're spot on. Everyone in AFLW, everyone improves year on year, and if we're as good as what we were last year, we'll finish about six. So we know that's a challenge. So yeah, look, we talked about our back line improving, our ball movement. We think it's been a gradual, and when I say gradual, it was supposed to be gradual, but it's been quite rapid in the way that we move the ball, the change just from 2 years ago, and we do that so we can be a high scoring team again. And then with our forwards, just trying to keep them as dangerous as possible. Renowned for our forward line pressure. We want to make sure we maintain that, because if we're doing that, then we're doing you're putting the opposition under a lot of duress, which is a key to our game.
You're coming towards the end of pre-season now, obviously only 12 or 13 days removed from your first game. We know it's been an off-season and a pre-season like no other. How have you found adapting to everything you've had to work with this pre-season? And do you feel like you've been able to optimise your players' readiness for the season?
Yeah, we planned for disruption because of COVID protocols. We knew the Eastern States that, you know, if they went into lockdown or if they went into group training, that we would be forced to do the same. So we sort of got ahead of it a little bit, and we started match sim and different things like that a lot earlier than what we normally would have. And sure enough, we did have a couple of blocks where we had to revert to small group training and things like that. So yeah, we were sort of ready for that, and we feel like we're in a really good position now. We had a good hit out on the weekend. We'll train, you know, solidly over the next fortnight, but we won't have any more practice games or anything like that, and they're ready to go for round one, which looks like being January 31st against GWS.
Hopefully that's the case. That's as scheduled at Fremantle Oval, and hopefully that remains the case, that it'll be the first home game of the year for Fremantle. Finally, before we let you go, Trent, and thanks so much for talking to us this morning. Yesterday was a bit of a different sort of day for the playing group and for yourself. Smoking ceremony at Fremantle Oval. Talk us through what that was all about, because it's certainly something very different to pop up on the social media feed.
Yeah, it's something that... We started, this is our third one that the the girls started amongst themselves. The Indigenous girls were keen to do this, and with the help of Uncle Richard, as they call him, Richard Wally, we've run this smoking ceremony. The first one was just a players only event, and then it's evolved now into a lot of members come down, a lot of staff, a lot of the men's players. Justin Longmuir was there, Peter Bellin. It's a great event where we look at some of the Indigenous culture things and that smoking ceremony. So it's really important for our Indigenous players, but it's been great for the whole group to understand that culture more, which is a big part of the Fremantle Dockers heritage. And our connection with the ground, we do it at Fremantle Oval, and I'm not sure if there's anything in it, but we haven't been beaten there since we've started doing the ceremonies. The girls love their connection to the ground, it's a great morning, and up at 4 o'clock has its challenges, but getting everyone there and partaking in that, a few special words from our captain, from Gemma Houghton spoken, and even from some of our supporters and board members. It's a very special morning, and then the girls finish it off with a dip at South Beach after as part of their recovery. So it's one of my favourite days of the year, the smoking ceremony, for any supporters. But next year, I highly recommend, if you can get out a bit early, coming down and partaking in that.
Certainly looked like a great morning. And look, hopefully it keeps the streak alive when you take on the Greater Western Sydney Giants next week. Trent, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Best of luck for the season ahead, and we hope to chat to you throughout the year.
No worries. Thanks, Jordan.